Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Today we will examine the 12th chapter of Yirmiyahu, which opens up with a quandary that troubled many tzaddikim and thinking people. Madua derech resha'im tzlecha. Why does evil flourish and go unpunished? Despite Hashem's persistent warning that the day of reckoning is approaching, faithful Jews and Hashem's messengers continued to be persecuted. Thus, the prophet Habakkuk, a contemporary of Yirmiyahu, complained, "Why do you tolerate those who deal treacherously and keep silent when the wicked swallows up the man who is more righteous than him?" Throughout Tanakh, the believers demanded that Hashem stand for justice and protect the humble, daring to ask, as Avraham Avinu did, "Chalila lecha, ha-shofet kol ha-aretz lo yaseh mishpat?" It would be a sacrilege for you. Will the judge of the whole earth not do justice? Now, as Yirmiyahu is harassed and threatened with assassination, he too dares to confront God in the opening verse of our chapter, aware that he is unlikely to win the debate. Yet he persists in begging Hashem to help him understand the troubling mystery. Tzadik ata Hashem ki ariv elecha, ach mishpatim adaber otach. Madua derech resha'im tzlecha, shalu kol bogdei vaged. You are always righteous, Hashem, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are the faithless traitors so serene? Rashi contends that this complaint was provoked by witnessing the rise of a cruel empire, as Hashem unleashes Nebuchadnezzar on Yerushalayim, and allows him to destroy the Beit HaMikdash and slaughter countless Jews, innocent and guilty alike. But Rashi agrees that the alternate explanation, namely, that Yirmiyahu was concerned that his persecutors in Anatot and in Yerushalayim are getting away with murder, is more consistent with the following verse, in which he describes the wicked invoking Hashem's name. "You have planted them, and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. You're always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Netatam gam shorashu, yelechu gam asu peri, karovata befihem verachok mikilyotehem." It is hard to imagine the Babylonians calling out to Hashem. Yet it is hard to fathom that the prophet, who otherwise would pray for Am Yisrael, now begs Hashem to unleash vengeance, as he does in verse 3. "Ve'ata Hashem yedatani, tir'eini uvachanta libi itach, hatikeim ketzon letivcha, v'hakdishem liyom harega." "Yet you know me, Hashem. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter." Still getting no response from God, Yirmiyahu continues, asking how long will Hashem tolerate the damage done to the country by the wicked. "Ad matai te'avel ha'aretz, ve'esef kol ha'sadeh yivash, mera'at yoshveva." "Until when will the land mourn, and the grass in every field be withered because of the evil of her inhabitants?" Midway, verse 4, Hashem interjects, "Safta behemot va'of, ki amru lo yir'ae et acharitenu." Rashi explains that the innocent are eradicated because the wicked delude themselves that God neither sees nor cares. The disconnect between crime and its punishment allows freedom of choice. But concurrently, it reinforces the illusion that there is no consequence for human behavior, be it good or evil. Thus, Hashem continues with a parable in the fifth verse, suggesting, "Don't think you've seen the worst, as I am dispatching you to Jerusalem to rebuke the arrogant elites who will hound you even more fervently than your kinsmen in your hometown, Anatot." Ki et raglaim ratzta vayalucha ve'ech titchared tasusim. If you were exhausted running with a footman, then will you contend with horses? For even your brothers, your father's household, even they have betrayed you. Even they berate and scream at you. Don't trust or believe them, though they speak beautiful words to you. Yirmiyahu shares Hashem's dismay at the treachery of those whom he loved, and identifies with the abandonment and sorrow of the Shechina that can no longer find a restful home among the Jews. Hashem, in turn, poetically bemoans losing his abode among the people he once so loved and nurtured, and simultaneously bespeaks the loneliness of his messenger Yirmiyahu in verses 7 and 8. Azavti et beti, natashti et nachalati, natati et yidudut nafshi bechaf oiveha. Haitali nachalati ke'arye bayar, natna alai bekola, alken sneitiha. I've forsaken my house, I've abandoned my inheritance. I'm giving the one I loved into the hands of her enemies. My inheritance has become for me like a lion in the forest. She roars at me. Therefore, I have come to hate her. Malbim explains the comparison of Israel to a lion cub. Imagine, he says, if a trainer nurtured a young lion in hopes of taming its wild instincts. Such was the case when Hashem tried to turn a collective of freed slaves into a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. The people coming out of Egypt had been hardened by 210 years of enslavement and dehumanization, where ruthlessness and brutality are keys to survival. It would be a monumental and thankless task to undo the damage and cultivate a civilization of refinement and mutual respect. Sadly, the lion tamer would witness that as the lion grew, it turned on its master. So Am Yisrael, over the centuries, adopted the values of their neighbors and reverted to its old degenerate instincts, rebelling against Hashem's values and laws, and abandoning the God that had rescued them. Now the lion lies wounded, and Hashem calls on the vultures and assorted birds of prey to attack the weakened king of the wilderness in verse 9. Ha'ayit savua nachalati li, ha'ayit saviv aleha, lichu isfu kol chayata sadeh, heitayu le'ochla. Rashi and Radak concur that ayit savua is a blood-spattered vulture, as the verse expresses dismay. Has my nation become a bloodthirsty vulture, preying on the innocent and the weak? Or are the vultures circling above her? Come, all the scavengers from the field, come and eat. In the following verses, the meaning of the imagery becomes clearer. Hashem removed his protection from Israel in stages, leaving the land and its people vulnerable to attack on various fronts. Ro'im rabim shichatu karmi, bosesu et chilkati, נתנו את חלקת חמדתי למדבר שממה. Many shepherds ruined my vineyard and trampled my lot. They turned my lovely lot into a desolate wasteland. It is becoming a wasteland. It grieves me. Desolation. The whole land is laid waste because no one cares. Then, standing alone between two pays, is verse 13, dripping with sarcasm. Zar'u chitim v'kotzim katsaru. Nachalu lo yu'ilu uvoshu mitvuotehem. Mecharon af Hashem. They sowed wheat, but reaped thorns. They exhausted themselves for nothing. They will be shamed by their harvest because of Hashem's fierce anger. Radak suggests the disappointed planters and reapers are the teachers and prophets who try to instill Musa and Torah in a field full of weeds and thorns. Nevertheless, Hashem sends a warning call to all of the neighboring scavengers who took advantage of Israel's moral and religious decline, and warns them in verse 14. As for all my wicked neighbors who seized the inheritance I gave my people Israel, I will uproot them from their territories, and I will then uproot the house of Yehuda from among them. Thus, Galut will only be temporary, and Hashem will eventually return all his people scattered in the neighboring lands, as he promised in verse 15. V'haya acharei notshi otam, ashuv v'richamtim, v'hashivotim ish lenachalato, v'ish le'artzo. Then, after I uproot them from Golus, I will again have compassion, and I will bring each of them back to his own inheritance and his own country. As the chapter concludes, Hashem reveals that Galut was not only punitive, but had an additional purpose of spreading Judaic ethics and theology among the Philistines, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Phoenicians, all those who had previously had such corrupting influence on the fledgling nation when it first entered the Promised Land. Yirmiyahu's message to these Gentile nations is, if they learn well the ways of my people and swear by my name, even as they once taught my people to swear by the Baal, then they will be established among my people. But if any nation does not heed and obey, I will completely uproot and destroy it, declares Hashem. Radak points out that indeed, upon their return from 70 years in Babylonian exile, the Jews were accompanied by true converts, various nationalities, who joined in rebuilding the land in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. All the rest were erased from human history. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.